I don't even know if that's true. Let's find out a bit more about the world of cricket on the weekend. The WBBL final was held, of course, on Saturday night at North Sydney. Didn't go the way of the team that we were barracking for, the Melbourne Stars. They lost to the Sydney Thunder by 7 wickets. It was comfortable in the end on the back of a great bowling display. And I'm sure they'd be very, very disappointed, but the Stars coach, Trent Woodall, has been good enough to join us on a Monday morning to wrap it up for us. Trent, good morning. Commiserations.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, definitely a bit sad today.
Yeah, I'm sure you've probably been sitting there in the last 48 hours just scratching your head as to how it all unfolded the way it did. Have you been able to pinpoint how and why you found yourself in such precarious situation batting first the other night?
Ismail, yeah, she was outstanding. She was outstanding. The wicket probably wasn't as flat as we thought it was. We thought, you know, it's been 40 degrees all day, hot day, get runs on the board in the final, and then squeeze them. But Ismail had a different take on that, and she bowled the house down and was a deserved player of the match. And we were never in the contest, really.
And for a team that's been so strong in that area, I mean, when wickets started to fall, was there an element of, bloody hell, what do we do now?
No, we just didn't get a chance to get back in the game. What was pleasing was that there wasn't real panic on the sidelines. There was frustration, but there wasn't a sense of everyone grab your pad. We just couldn't keep going. And Nat Siver and Annabelle Sutherland had that mini partnership there, and we thought, okay, we're going to reset and we'll go from wanting 150 to 130. But then I think when Nat got out, that was the end of that. And then you're sort of hoping to get to 120 and take early wickets, but it just wasn't to be.
Now, one of the big talking points, Trent, was the flip of the bat and the decision that was made. Explain why you chose to go against what you had been doing for most of the tournament.
I think we're just pretty keen to get some runs on the board. Like I said early on, hot day, what we thought was a good wicket. It was a hot day. That didn't change, but the wicket probably wasn't as flat as we thought. And the batting group were really keen to get runs on the board as well, feeling that in a final that we could then squeeze under lights the Thunder batting group. But it just didn't work out. But I think it's really important that we don't take anything away from the Thunder's bowling performance. Ismail, that was the spell of the tournament. She was unbelievable and backed up by, I think, Sammy Joe at the other end.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, well done to her.
And I think it's important to say, Trent, that history says in WBBL matches, in finals, often the team that he's batting second chokes, chasing. It's happened. And to get runs on the board in a final, whether it's men's or women's cricket, is often the way you go. So I don't think you can be criticised for doing what you did.
No, listen, we had an outstanding tournament. It was really good. And where the disappointment lies was, I think, the tournament ending, in that we embraced the hub. And to share the Thunder, they did too. But we had a really good mindset just around how we wanted to play our cricket. It was aggressive. It took was taking the bowlers on, and then it was defending and squeezing with the ball, and it just didn't work out in the final. And to your point around, you know, batting first, runs on the board, history suggests that was a really rock solid way of trying to win a game. But it was, you know, I wanted to make sure the girls weren't apologetic, they weren't embarrassed. It was acknowledging the success and the ability of the opposition, and then make sure that we continue on our journey and look to be, you know, ultra aggressive next year as well.
So taking off your Stars cap and putting on your sort of developmental role with Cricket Australia, yep. I think the interesting part, and unfortunately the Stars copped the brunt of it, but as you touched on, it was won by a bowler or some bowling. And I think, you know, with a tournament that for a number of years now has been so batter dominant, to see fast bowling particularly actually win a game, I think is really important for the development of the game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 100%. Ismail, I mean, she's in the field. The first game we played against her in the field, she was outstanding, a terrier around the boundary. And to see that game at North Sydney Oval, I think it's sort of, the skeptics will always have their view on different sports or women's sports. But it was a great occasion. It was, you know, Annabelle Sutherland hitting the ball out of the ground, and then Ismail bowling good pace and moving the ball. Was a great side as well. So I think the tournament itself has jumped up from where it was last season. And now there's so much more riding on these games for the girls that it's actually, you know, athletic battles now where, you know, where there's young girls competing for Australian places as well. And there may be some of the ones who are at the top of the tree at the start of the tournament have slipped a bit. But that pressure and that competitiveness is really driving that tournament, which is exciting to see.
So you fall one short, obviously, in the final. What will you target next season to come in?
I've lost 5 in a row, so I think I just want to not turn up to a final, maybe. I promised them at the start of the tournament that they'd have a lot of fun, that everything they did was optional other than turning up to a match. I wanted to empower them as athletes. It's sort of my mantra with the men's players that I work with, that I want to empower them to feel good about the decisions that they make. And I think we got there at the end. And I think it was a shock to them to lose because they were so used to backing themselves and getting up for the next day. Then all of a sudden, when the end of the tournament came, the trick will be making sure that we start again next year and not start where we ended, but you know, reorganise ourselves as to how we want to play next year's tournament. And that was led by Meg Lanning, who had a lot of fun. I mean, I can't speak to Meg, but she smiled a lot, she laughed a lot, she loved our practice sessions. And the girls really embraced Meg, Captain Brunt, Matt Siver, Mignon Dupree, the overseas players, Elise Bellani, last year's captain. They allowed Meg to really express herself and just be one of the girls. And I think that was important, that it was a player-led team, and that's the stage that we want to continue on next year.
Can you just I'm fascinated, Trent. You've tricked my attention. Can you just explain a bit more about the everything's optional apart from rocking up on game day, that theory and where that's come from and how it was received by the girls initially when you broached that subject?
It comes from Stephen Fleming. I was lucky to work with Fleming for about 5 years, but I've been close with him for about 10. And I've had some really good leaders who have been my head coach and I've been an assistant. I think empowering people is really important, and especially more so in the women's game where they're so compliant and they have so many rules put in place, from dietitian, strength and conditioning to you name it. They have a rule in place. They have someone, you have a short, fat, 49-year-old bloke like me usually telling them what to do. So it's really important that we as leaders and coaches, that we give them a platform to make their own choices on how they want to play. So basically, at the start of the season, we had our first meeting, and I said to them, everything is optional. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, including what any CA direction. They had complete autonomy to choose what was best for them as young athletes, and I was able to guide them, and the other coaches were able to guide them if they needed help on it. And one of the sessions we had early on, Mignon Dupree didn't come. She just felt like she needed an afternoon off. And that was really empowering because the young players saw that, you know, one of the best players in the world, a married 31-year-old, had decided that she didn't want to come to training today. And then what happens is players stop looking at who's not there. They start focusing on what they're doing. So that it doesn't matter if someone's late for the bus or late for a meeting or doesn't come to a meeting. It's just about making sure that you're ready to go. And that way, on match day, you tend to be able to cope with things that aren't right.
Are there consequences for people that aren't there often or miss things that they probably shouldn't?
No, zero consequences, and that's part of it too. I think sport's gone the wrong way. You constantly read in papers or hear on shows that a player missed a meeting, was 2 minutes late for training, so they've been fined and they've lost their place in the side. I think maybe in contact sports it has a greater significance, but in cricket, it's still a bunch of individuals coming together, and you need individuals firing. As did Ismail on the weekend to win games, win tournaments, and the girls, there wasn't a lot of sessions that they missed, but when they did miss it, that's empowering. To have a day off knowing that someone else is at work, I think it's a really good thing as well.
That is a great insight, a really good insight. Now, I'm keen to find out more about that. I might talk to you a bit more about that one day down the track, Trent. But bad luck.
Yeah, sorry, Half King. I'm not sure what your situation is now, Trent. I'd imagine, are you still involved with the Stars men?
No, part of me taking on the role with the BBL was I had to relinquish my role with the Melbourne Stars men's team, which would be tough because we're family, if you like. So I'm really excited for them this year, but it's enabled me now to move into this other space where I can help with the innovation and the strategy of the tournament going forward. And obviously, those three rules have been talked about a lot. So yeah, that's I've been part of that process and really looking forward to see how that plays out.
We'd love you to come in. I don't know whether you're still based in Melbourne, but we'd love you to come in over the next couple of weeks to just chat cricket with you for an extended period. It'd be awesome to have a chat to you because you've got some real lateral thinking when it comes to cricket, and I think it's really interesting just to chat, and that's the best part about cricket is so much to talk about.
Yeah, there is. That's the beauty of it. I think there's lots of conversation about it at the moment, which I love. And I know there's different opinions on things, but that's the part I love because it's usually a conversation that can take you on a different journey.
Yeah,
and I don't have a problem with being wrong, so that's great because there might be a conversation that I can have that will help me add to the value and the progression of the tournament, which is awesome.
Fascinating stuff, Trent. Bad luck to you and the girls on the weekend. I'm sure you'll be back bigger and badder than ever in the next edition of the WBBL. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for your support.